Great program for all y'all right here on CITR 101.9 FM. Coming up next, Off the Beaten Path with Issa Arian. It's another one of the great, amazing shows right here on the best station in the universe. Remember, you can tune in with Crimes and Treasons next week right here, 8 to 10 p.m. Until next week, we out.
March 6th to March 10th, vote yes for the Bite Kitchen in the AMS referendum. Since 1998, the Bite Kitchen has enabled UBC students to access affordable transportation and inclusive programming. However, operations have been seriously impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, leaving our organization in a difficult financial position. From March 6th to March 10th, UBC students will be able to vote yes to support a $3 fee increase for the Bite Kitchen. Having this stable source of funding will allow us to create a new program where we would provide bicycles to BIPOC students, expand our offerings to the LGBTQ+ community, bring back educational classes, provide more support for wheelchair users, and continue providing bicycle repair services at an accessible price point. Getting more people on bicycles means less traffic by having less cars on the road, as well as more seats available on buses. Whether or not you're a cyclist, support for a crucial UBC resource will mean a healthier, happier, and safer student body. Vote yes on the referendum to directly support a more sustainable future, not just for UBC students, but for our community at large.
Lacking. Is it because you lack focus? Is kindness truly that atrocious? Altruism or phantasm? The physical construction always runs into issues unconditional. Anything's a rarity, so why don't mishandle the love when that shit's revealed to me? Insecurities is compromising my best parts, my latest feats. Try and deal with shorty posting pics, progress in motion, safe file collecting dust. You look better off facing the camera instead in front of my face. Don't worry about my spoils, yo, I'm still procuring those. Flowers scented, incense serenade the nostrils. Incense is friendly planted to be severely less hostile. No fretting about who getting up, oh. Nigga, I got you. Niggas trapped, imagine tapping in thrice as thorough. Every time the ground greeny hard, dreams tease me with images of thriving harder. All I had was kush, had to crowdsource the rest of the operation. Dogs possessive and excessive with incessant barking. I couldn't tell you twice, the incorrect tree to bark up. Way better off simply sparking. Y'all bodies useless as carcasses. All the excuses for power imbalance from a Caucasian is. Grip.
Yo. You tuned in to Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Aaron, and we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh territories here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland. CITR, listen, if you have never listened to the show before, you listen, you're in for a treat. If you're listening, joining from Crimes and Treasons, welcome, welcome. Listen, Tuesday, there's really nowhere else you got to go. You know, you're here with the premier radio station, not just this part of the Lower Mainland, not just this part of the province, but probably this part of the 49th parallel for sure. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR here. On Off the Beam Path, listen, we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about some art. Sometimes we talk about some, you know, some stuff that's not art, but it's so funny it could be. We talk about, you know, some of the serious issues that are going on here in the Lower Mainland. You know, occasionally in history we've had guests. I haven't had a guest in a long time, but you know what? Sometimes we like to keep you on your toes, so never count yourself out. Listen, you could be a guest. Listen, we come here every Tuesday. I come here every Tuesday, me and you. And we do this, you know, we do this. It's like you're sitting on my couch. We're just talking about topics. But yet, you, have you done your part? Did you give money to the fund drive? Listen, just because the fund drive is over does not mean you cannot give to CITR. We do not have enough money to get to the antenna yet. And we have lots of programming and other things that go on during the season. So check it out. Also, if you listen to the PSAs, listen, go. If you're a UBC student, go vote. Use your voice to save the Bike Kitchen, because the Bike Kitchen is nice and they do great things. Anyways, I don't know if you noticed, but the weather has been changing. And it's getting to that part of the year where it kind of tricks you a little bit. And I think we talked about this the last time I was on. And we were tricked. And then we had like a week of snow. So I'm not going to say anything, but it was nice outside. And I think you can enjoy it. It's going to be even nicer tomorrow, and then even nicer on Thursday. So if you want to enjoy that, I'm not going to tell you about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just make sure that you get out and enjoy your Thursday. Listen, I got so much, I don't want to say hopeful news, but definitely things that are interesting, and not just things that are interesting to know, interesting to share. Because let me tell you, I feel like, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of inspiration, you know, to come on the radio and talk for a whole hour just to kind of show you my ideas. And sometimes I go through things so that you don't have to go through things, right? So last week, I didn't come to the radio. I'm sorry. Maybe if you were waiting, you were like, damn, where the fuck is Issa at? I hope he's okay. I hope that was your first thought, you know, not like, damn. and then swipe to the next mode of entertainment. Anyways, I went to go watch Cocaine Bear on Tuesday because it just felt like a movie that the people who listen to Off the Beaten Path and myself would appreciate. You know, just this idea of this bear getting a hold of some cocaine that might put him in a position to fight back with like a little bit of more evenness, because you know humans have guns. And while it was entertaining in a hot tub time machine kind of way, like if you like hot tub time machine, you like that kind of, then I would say go enjoy it. Go see it in theaters. If you like those types of movies when you're watching them at your house, I'm like, yeah, you can go sit at the house. I just don't know if maybe I wasn't on the right latitude. You feel me? To watch a movie, I felt like I was there, but I wasn't like there. You know what I'm saying? And so it was a good movie. I always like seeing Clay Davis in the movies. If you don't know who Clay Davis is, you probably should go to bed right now. It's probably before your bedtime. I mean, after your bedtime. And I love seeing Clay Davis in there. And then I was not expecting to see Ice Cube's son. I don't think he was really advertised in the movie. Or maybe I just didn't watch enough of the trailers or watch any of the trailers at all. I just heard that there was a bear who found some cocaine and wanted to see what would happen. But anyways, don't go. You can go see it. Anyways, I did see a few more that weekend. That week, I was feeling very inspired, just artistically, in my consumption, where I went into the Social Justice Film Festival, and I saw two great films. One is talking about Monopoly of Violence, and it was about the French Yellow Vest protests. I don't know if you've ever checked them out, but if you think about this concept of the Monopoly of Violence, you watch this protest movie, and you understand a little bit behind where it comes from, the context of, you know, Frantz Fanon talks about that idea of humanity and violence, the willingness and the ability to use it. Who gets to use it? How does it affect our humanity? It was just very interesting. And it's interesting to see, I mean, that colonialism is not too far away, but how unevolved. We have a story we're going to talk about a little bit after we come back that explores that just a little bit deeper and what it actually cost the police. The answer might surprise you. Until then, we got hella music, so much good music. There's so much good music at so many good new artists. And I love to share them with you.
Decisions that you can make, yeah. We don't have to complicate it. Listen to your mind and let it lead the way. Loving all this conversation, eating up the vibes you put on my plate. I can't get enough, can't wait.
about what I should say. So tell me why you leave me waiting, putting in everything. I won't let it go to waste. You don't wanna jump straight in. I know it can be frustrating.
You all of it, no faking. Slow and steady with the race. So, but baby, you don't say a thing.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And listen, I don't know if you're gonna make, maybe, you know what, I'll just let you. These two stories are connected. And wow, it feels like I'm talking really loud. Yeah, these two stories are connected, and I think it'll take a little bit for us to get there, but I feel like just come along with me, you know? So one of the things that we like to do here on Off the Beaten Path is like to look at the lack of what journalism has come to, right? What has it come to? And you can see what it has come to. Sometimes when you read the CBC, you're like, wow, you know, there might be an article. Scientists say water not actually wet, and then they will talk about a story that comes down, and at the end the conclusion is water is actually wet, just not in the ways some type of silly steam, I don't know, you know, plasma or something. Anyways, this story I found to be really compelling. So there was a study that looked into the accuracy of dog DNA tests. Jenny Cowley, Travis. It's the last name that I didn't prepare properly because I didn't prepare myself to say the last name confidently on air. And I feel pretty bad about that. We're moving on though. So it's about the accuracy of this dog DNA test. So they took three dogs and a human being. I'm not going to say which of the writers that they tested their DNA, but I feel like through my introduction, you can guess. So they looked at to see if people are able to accurately, you know, these companies are able to accurately find the DNA of these dog breeds and tell them. And so basically what they did, they took these dog breeds and they got them tested by four different companies to see, one, if the results came back similar, and if the results came back accurate. And so throughout these four tests, three with the dogs and one with the journalists, none of the tests came back accurate, which is, and even and one of the dogs, I guess it's noted, one of the dogs is like a Great Dane with one of those, with like lineage, like lines of paperwork that go back generations and generations of Great Danes. And so that was the most accurate, like two of the companies predicted that was a Great Dane, one predicted it was a Chihuahua. But all of the companies predicted that the man, who's a journalist, Travis, was in fact a dog. And it's just crazy that a company can, well, one, just think of like, if they can't tell the breed of a dog through these DNA testing, how are they using DNA to find individual people to doing crimes? I don't know. I just, it's just a thought. I think that's crazy. How can they use DNA to find the like individual person who committed a particular crime through DNA, yet they cannot use the DNA to even find the type of a dog? I wonder if they could use the DNA to find a specific dog, then maybe you know, my conspiracy is debunked very easily debunked with some Google. But it is it's just kind of crazy that they can't find a breed of the dog, but they continue to sell you on the fact that you can. Like, this is like a billion-dollar businesses that are run on fictitious science. Like, isn't that crazy? Every single person, like these, I'm trusting Jenny a lot on this one. So, if you're listening to All That's Being Passed, listen, you know, I provide the broad strokes. It's up to you to paint the details in. You know what I mean? And so, but we're going with this. Listen, it's, imagine working at a company where everything that you sell is bullshit. Like, what you sell is dog DNA test. And your dog DNA test came back and said this Great Dane was a Chihuahua. That's bullshit. You got salespeople, you got science people, you got managers, you got all these people who are going to work every day selling this joke product. It's a joke. It's a novelty. And then you got people who can spend money on this, which is crazy. It's like we have too much money and not enough, you know, spirit. Like, we have so much money to spend on so much frivolous stuff. Yet the stuff we know doesn't even work. I just get it for me. It feels violent to like, imagine working at this company. You read this article and you're like, damn, we really ain't shit. But yet you go and you just, that's how you feed your family. You're just like, yeah, but I have to sell it. I got to get paid. It's sick. What else is sick is the fact that I went to the grocery store today to buy groceries, and I personally feel like a victim every time I go to the grocery store. I feel like there's some type of robbery that's going on that I can't avoid. It feels as if my life is a dark alleyway, you know, and you're like, I gotta go to the grocery store. But every time you're like, it's gonna cost me $60. Like, there's a toll. As soon as you walk in the grocery store, they should just, like, you might do like pay a cover, like a deductible when you walk into the grocery store, because it's crazy. I bought milk from the like the corner store around from my apartment, because it's cheap there, cheaper than the grocery store. However, cereal there was like $8. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to No Frills, see how much cereal is at No Frills. Go to No Frills, cereal, $7.50 for Captain Crunch. I said, that's crazy. So I just, you know, now I have milk and no cereal. But I'm just thinking, how insane are the prices that cereal costs $7? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Cereal, there hasn't been any new research and development. The marketing, I haven't seen a commercial for cereal in forever. Maybe it's because I don't watch that type of TV, but it's like, where are you marketing at? I can't imagine that Cheerios, or, you know, not the Honey Nut Cheerios, but regular Cheerios is spending that much money. There's no reason why regular Cheerios should cost $7.50. They taste like shit. Honey Nut Cheerios shouldn't cost $8. But so one of the things is that the BC government is trying to institute a referendum to make put some transparency to food prices and profits in grocery stores, because grocery stores, Loblaws, is making record profits in the billions, and we're paying $7 for cereal just because we can pay $7 for cereal. Like, just because we will, people, because people need cereal. Like, it is insane. We are living in a time where people have, it's, I feel like it's like we've taken the governor off of the very explosive system that we have. We're just slowly easing it up, where we are basically being held back by people just not being too greedy, like landlords and everybody who's just trying to squeeze out a little bit of profit. Me and my friend today were talking about Airbnbs, and we're like, damn, hotels are better. It's like just the better option now, because ever since people have been trying to squeeze out just a little bit of extra money for themselves, what they've done is they've created a system in Airbnb where it's not fun, and it actually, you don't get any of the benefits that I feel like you used to get of staying at an Airbnb. You just get to stay in a shitty neighborhood in a much less comfortable space than a hotel. Just becoming a better option. Anyways, back how these things are all connected. It's all crazy. What people have to do to just get a little tiny bit of just satisfaction and leisure in their life. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how you can do your part to save a little bit of the BC environment. But you're going to have to get outside.
Problem. My grace, 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 my gr
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host. So, there is, I feel like every springtime, you know, as we emerge back into just kind of nice weather and being able to be outside, I feel like there's more and more invasive species here in the, at least I feel like I hear about them just a little bit more. But what I found is that, you know, listen, when you flush your goldfish down the toilet, or maybe when you, you know, your goldfish, you get tired of it, taking care of it in the tank. You know, some people toss it in the lakes. Well, listen, don't do that. And if you know people who have done that, shame them, because invasive species the size of footballs are spreading from Vancouver to other parts of BC faster and faster. And what goldfish do is goldfish, they go into ecosystems. And if you don't know, goldfish will just eat and eat and eat. And they grow to the size of the tank, right? So like the actual tank that you keep your goldfish in that keeps it from basically growing too big. And so when they get out into BC lakes, what they can do is they can grow huge, like the size of duffel bags, and they can take up and eat all the food in the ecosystem and starving out the other types of fish and the other types of wildlife in the system. And since they are so big, they don't have like natural predators here, so they can just grow infinitely. And they taste like shit, so you can't even catch them and eat them. Because as soon as I read the story, I was like, wow. It just made me think of like Magikarp from Pokemon. I'm like, I wonder if you could eat it. And what I found out is that goldfish tastes like mud. So even if you wanted to eat it, why would you do that? I'm still not going to say that. Like if I went someplace and they had been cooking goldfish for years, decades, maybe like in their tradition, then I would try the goldfish because I would like to see what it tastes like. I would like to see and then also do my part. So I think it's interesting. Like this year I have decided that I'm going to do a little bit more fishing, considering my mom is amazing and bought me a fishing rod last summer for my birthday. And, you know, I just want to, I like using gifts, even though if it's maybe not the gift, it's like I like using the gifts that people give me out of love, you know? And so I'm going to try to do some fishing this year. And my goal is to catch some goldfish because we can't have them just being in lakes. But one thing I think is interesting is that when it comes to saving the environment, like we can save the environment in little ways by like helping to give our native species of animals a fighting chance versus, you know, these things that we bring in that maybe they're not intend to take over, but unintentionally can take over and change its ecosystems. And I also understand nothing. Yeah. So they talk about in the story about what they can do to actually stop these types of invasive species, and they do this thing called shocking the pond, which temporarily stuns the fish and makes them float to the top, and then they can just scoop the goldfish out. And they said that they would be able to do this for all of the lakes in Whistler and the surrounding areas, but it would be too expensive. And that expense is $10,000. And like, I know like $10,000 probably sounds like a lot to you listening to this radio show. It sounds like a lot to me. Like $10,000, like if somebody gave me $10,000, I'd be like, wow, thank you. And then I would pay some student loans. Pay a fraction of my student loans. That's exactly what I would do. But like $10,000 is a lot of money. Like it changed lives. Like millions of people's lives on this continent, $10,000 would have material change in their life. And $10,000 could benefit the environment. However, there's so many people with $10,000 that don't do anything. It's like, what do you? What's the good point of being all having all this money, being rich? You're not even going to help people. Anyways, it's just like when I think about these types of things about the environment. It's not like the environment needs, like the environment needs. The environment doesn't need any money, but it's not like the organizations that are trying to help the environment are looking for, you know, billions of dollars to do something. It's like these little things that we can do, which is shock the fish and scoop them out. And it's not even like the forest needs money. One, I find it interesting when you read articles about the BC environment and when there's regulations put on the environment, who's like the subject in the headline? Who's like the victim of the headline? And so reading this story that says BC extends ban on old growth logging for 2 years to assist endangered spotted owls recovery. It feels almost as if like the logging company is the victim. And it's like, I don't understand why the ban is something that comes up year after year, as if the people in BC are going to change their mind about wanting to log old growth forests. It's not like one day in 2 years, people are going to wake up and say, hey, you know what? We've been protesting about old growth forests for years. I think it's time we give it up. That sounds dumb. And so, but that's like what I find sometimes within the mechanism is that we just continue to talk about this every 2 years. Why don't they just, I propose, I'm like, to who? To you. It's like, why don't they just ban old growth logging? And then come back to it, maybe if there's a need to log those forests. And like, why does it have to do with the owls? It's not like once in 2 years, once the owls have recovered, that it's like, oh yeah, great. The owls have done a great job recovering here. Now, let's cut it down. What sense does that make? Doesn't make any sense. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Florida and why there is another reason why you might want to stay your ass out of the entire state altogether. You're back with All the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host. And that was Tendai with Pressure. I really like that song. So you should probably put that in your playlist, you know what I mean? Or you should check out Off the Beaten Path's playlist. Listen, we like to hold it down with the new music, new artists from all over the globe, from the diaspora, all just playing some smooth, soulful music. So what's going on in Florida? Nothing good. However, Florida health officials investigating after a person dies from rare brain-eating amoeba infection. That just sounds so crazy because I don't know if you remember this, but remember when they said that person bit that person's face off because they were on bath salts? And I feel like bath salts feel like 2 decades ago, because I'm not even sure that bath salts in 2023 even like hit the minimum threshold for a multi-day story. And it's honestly, it's kind of scary because I was listening to a podcast the other day, which actually was talking about this, which is like, what does it take for a story to become so sensational in this day and age, particularly when it comes to something, you know, that has to do with public health or something that has to do with kind of politicians, and how like desensitized and also helpless that we feel in this idea that there's nothing that you can actually do about it. So what's the point of worrying about it? Like, there was a time when the United States, you know, in the 80s when they had Iran-Contra, talking about how people were actually tuned in day after day for months, listening to what was going on in the United States government, and how people were out here selling drugs. Like, the United States government was selling drugs to fund Contras all around, you know, to fight the secret wars all around the world. In 2023, what does that do? So I look at this amoeba, this brain-eating amoeba, and I'm like, wow, I hope that doesn't get out. Let me just log back in to work tomorrow. And they say that tap water is linked to the rare infection death. Tap water. That shit is basically unavoidable. Like, if there's bacteria in your tap water, there's nothing you can do. You don't even know. A brain-eating death. That shit sounds so scary. Anyways, what else sounds scary is that there was a couple in Hawaii. They just filed a lawsuit against this company that says in 2021, they were on their honeymoon in Maui on the Lanai coast, and they were on a snorkeling tour with 44 passengers. And basically the boat took off without them and abandoned them while they were out snorkeling. And they had to swim all the way back basically for 15 minutes, and they were unable to flag down the boat, and the boat basically took off to the next location, and they realized that they were in the ocean and they had to swim back for their lives. And I could not imagine a scarier situation than being stuck out there. Like, I just, and the wild part is that, like, I'm curious if they both wanted to go. Like, what if only one of them wanted to go? Like, I can't imagine. What if they were dragged? I won't say dragged, but they were like, oh, you know, let's go snorkeling, it'll be fun. And the other one was like, no, I'm not really into snorkeling. And it was like, oh, come on, you should do it. And then you almost die. That would be insane, an insane way to start a marriage. Glad. It's not me, but, you know, maybe it's maybe it's actually the best way. Then you can see how you're both survivors and we're able to make it. And if you can make it through that, you can make it through anything. Anyways, I just always think that it's every time after something like that happens, it's always the lawsuit. You're always like, damn, I wonder how much money they're going to get. Because it's all it's about in America is that like 20, you're just living to hope that there's a chance that you can sue. Like, you just like live every day. You're like, well, what? I hope somebody does something to me so fucked up that I can sue, but not too fucked up that I'm fucked up. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be too gone, just gone enough. And it took these people, it was about a mile swim. So about an hour's worth of swimming in the ocean. That's got to be tough. But these people were snorkeling off of a boat that had 44 other people on there. You know what they also had on there? They also had life jackets on. So I don't feel too bad, and I don't think they should get any money. Well, yeah, I don't think they should get any money. Just go on vacation in Hawaii. Maybe that's just what I think. Because they had life jackets on. Like, maybe if they didn't have life jackets on, it might be a little bit more scary. But it's not like they were going to die. Moving on. I think that it's so interesting that whenever anything happens, the police never have to pay for it. So, you know, back in 2020, you were if you were anywhere near anything, you would know that there was, protests that broke out in every city. I don't even know what to call them anymore because, you know, what's the zeitgeist call them? I just call them the racial reckoning 2020. And the New York Police Department ended up having to pay millions of dollars to lots of people, but $21,000 to each of the protesters in this particular incident where the police basically surrounded the protesters and pushed them together, causing a riot and lots of injuries and trauma. And so they have to pay the protesters $21,000. But where does that $21,000 come from? You know, like, that's the crazy part. It's just that, like, no, we just have to pay, like, we as a collective have to pay for the abuse and pay double because these cops, listen, if you look at, even in Vancouver, if you can go look it up because once they're public employees, you can see just how much police officers make, on overtime. And it's incredible. Like, you look up how much a New York Police Department police officer makes, like, with overtime. You can see what they made in 2020. They were making hella money. And so the $21,000 doesn't come from them, doesn't come from their pensions, doesn't come from the police department. It comes from the taxpayers, which is crazy. It's just, I find that, I say it every day. I'm like, you know, this is the last day that I get so pessimistic about this type of stuff where you're like, oh, you know, what's going to change? You know, what's going to change? You're like, you know what? Maybe I can grow up and like wake up and try to like think just with a little bit more positivity, you know? You know, maybe you can just be a little bit more hopeful. That's what I hope. But you see stories like this where you're like, you know, this is where hope gets you. Sometimes hope gets you in trouble. And I'm going to tell you about, like, I have one, maybe two more songs I really want to play for you before we leave. And so I'm going to play them, but I'm going to tell you, like, hope can get you in trouble. And this man, Julio Cesar, Bermejo, he's found it. You know, sometimes I just realize I'm a little bit of a hater myself. Like, I just think about things and I'm like, wow, am I hating just a little too hard? And then sometimes I think I'm like, no, I think I'm hating just the proper amount. I was just upset just thinking about why cereal costs $7. Again, I just don't think it makes any sense when companies like Loblaws are literally having their best years ever. Made $180 million over expectation for the quarter. That's crazy. Crazy. Anyways, my man Julio Cesar out of Peru was arrested after being found with an ancient mummy he referred to as his spiritual girlfriend named Juanita. Listen, he says that his dad gave him Juanita. He says that his dad came home with Juanita 30 years ago, and he's had Juanita ever since. He sleeps with Juanita in the room. Juanita's 800 years old, and they only found out about Juanita because he wanted to show his friend Juanita. Now, they say officials who analyzed the mummy say that the remains belong to a 4'11" Puno man who was about 45 years old at the time of his death. The corpse has been since turned over to the Peruvian Cultural Ministry and classified as a national asset. This man just had a national asset mummy just chilling in his room, sleeping, calling it his spiritual girlfriend. That's where hope gets you. Hope is dangerous. Hope is a dangerous thing. Listen, I have hope, but I don't have hope. Not too much. Like how do you have hope when we can't, like, the world is so unserious. First off, there's a man who's charged with killing two dogs and skinning them before because he thought they were coyotes. This shit doesn't add up. He shot the two dogs, looked at the dogs, and were like, and it's such a skilled hunter. He's like, oh, these are coyotes. I'm going to skin them. Not realizing that they were German shepherds. This guy's a liar. Could you imagine if somebody skinned your German shepherd? Oh, my goodness. That man will be on a t-shirt. On a damn t-shirt. And just a reminder, sometimes you need to watch what you say on the internet, especially when you're a journalist. A woman journalist was fired on Twitter because she responded to the mayor of Dallas with bruh, .. said something. And he found it offensive. Like, and as a black person who has worked hard to get in a position where you feel a certain level of respect is required, being referred to as bruh by this white journalist, I could see feeling very offensive. This woman clearly didn't know the proper timing for this bruh, and she paid consequences dearly. But sometimes that's just how it goes. Listen, we do this every week, 10 to 11, right after Crimes and Treasons, 8 to 10. We got you Tuesday night. This is Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, East Arian. Listen, tune in next week. Listen, this is the best radio show in Canada. It's by far. Listen, stay tuned. Got some good programming coming up. Still, I'm out.
Freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does it make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even going to last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France, Montreal. What the f***? It's a script. I couldn't even, what? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, okay, just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that, because even a fucking elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf?